Whatever legacy all of us, any of us, leave behind, we hope that those that love us and know us will be proud of us.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire true wealth. We believe there are three components of true wealth. One, purpose. Two, impact. And number three, legacy. If you want more information on our firm, just check out our website, taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this show, I'm bringing you a conversation with a guy by the name of Eric Nelson. Now, you probably don't recognize that name, but if you've ever been a patient or a parent of a patient at Children's Hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota, likely you know Eric Nelson as the dude. You see, there's a fully functioning TV station on the first floor of Children's Hospital called Star Studio, and the host of this show that they do every day is Eric the Dude. They offer programming for kids of all ages, really geared specifically to the patients and the families as just a fun alternative and escape to the situation and reality that a lot of these families and patients find themselves in. Eric's been the dude for over 10 years. He has quite a heart for children, sick children, and people with disabilities, and he uses his theater background to really execute his purpose and calling, and you're going to hear that really come out of him in this podcast. We have a really cool conversation and discussion about purpose and really why finding your purpose isn't quite as clear-cut as some people may think. Here's my conversation with the dude, Eric Nelson.
I have what I think might be one of the coolest jobs in the world, and I'm really blessed to be able to do it and work, you know, for an organization like Children's Minnesota that really supports it and sees its value.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show. You're clearly doing some outstanding work, having a lot of impact on some of the most fragile people. I mean, is there any other way to describe it than children who are sick?
Yeah, very vulnerable. Yeah. It's very scary if you're in a hospital, even if you're coming in for a checkup or something, or if you're here for major surgery or getting serious treatments. I mean, it's all scary and it all fits on the spectrum. So,
yeah,
you know, we here at Star Studio just roll up our sleeves and embrace it and try to make kids feel okay about being here.
Well, talk about, like, what is your title exactly? What are you called other than the dude?
Other than the dude, my official title is talent producer of Star Studio.
Okay.
Which means I help build and create shows with the team that I work with here at Star Studio. And also I book all the guests that come in and help manage some of that scheduling and sorting through a lot of the requests that we get for people, really great people that want to come through and do something. Yeah. And sometimes it's not always a fit through our foundation or volunteer services, but we make it work. If people want to do something and give back anyway, whether it's performing or donating or something, Star Studio kind of comes in and fills in the cracks sometimes so that people sometimes aren't able to give the way that they want to. But come be on Star Studio show and put on a good show for the kids, and that's kind of where we fit in.
Talk about Star Studio. When did that all start?
Well, it's actually really cool. This guy in the late 70s, this really great guy, Larry Johnson was his name. He was a security guard here. He figured out a way to rig up a security camera that would go to all the patients' rooms. And he did this show that they could watch on this channel, this closed circuit channel in black and white. And it was called the electronic get well card. And he would do it. He had one camera with a handle on it. So with his free hand, he would put the camera on himself and then turn the camera over to him having a sock puppet. This worm named Tyler was his name. So kids could watch this show, and people would make get well cards and get well wishes and things like that. And he would broadcast them to the kids' rooms.
Wow.
So that went on for several years, and then it evolved into a show called The Wishing Well Show, which was hosted by somebody here that was a librarian. Her name was Kathy, and she did a show 4 days a week every morning, and she had a puppet, very beloved puppet named Porky Chop.
Yeah.
And then guests would come on, and it was a little bit more interactive because kids now could call into the show from their rooms, from the phone that's, you know, that's in their hospital room. And Kathy would do really cool things like she'd round and meet the kids and then gather some of their, like, maybe they had a stuffed animal that they loved, and Kathy would borrow it, put it on the show, so kids would watch their favorite stuffed animal be the star of a show.
Yeah.
And also, she would have pretty well-known people like Robert Smith, the former Vikings running back. I know he was a semi-regular here and did some shows, and she would book a lot of guests. And then in about 2007, because it had been produced from an outside entity, that funding had been pulled, and Family Services here in the hospital took on and created a budget, and they found me out in the community, and they asked me if I wanted to help. And I said, sure. And then it evolved into from just wanting to help to, hey, let me be the dude.
So where did the dude come from? They didn't hire you as the dude. Obviously, that was probably your idea. But where did that come from?
I wanted to create, instead of doing a puppet that had been done or something like that, I wanted to just create a quasi character that was more of an extension of my own personality that would always be. I am pretty much a big kid. And to be able to, you know, relate to kids as an adult, but being a big kid, I thought, well, why not come up with and basically embrace that part of me that loves kids, that wants to make people feel good and be funny and be goofy, be silly, put myself out there and have kids even, you know, look up to the dude. And that's kind of how it was born, so that I would always have this. People call it a character, but I say it's just an extension of my own personality. So I'm not really acting. I get to be myself. Well, that's the greatest secret.
What's your background in theater? What were you doing before you were the dude?
Yeah, I was a theater arts major in Mankato. And came up to the cities, and I got into improvisation at Dudley Riggs Brave New Workshop, and had worked in some interactive dinner theater, stuff like that. And then I landed at a place called Interact Center, which is a day program for adults who have disabilities, and it was an arts center. So I worked in the performing arts, wrote and directed and acted with people with disabilities, and was there for about a decade, and I gained a lot of, you know, social service type backgrounds, and working as a client advocate, got to know kind of the disability world. And then I would act out in the community, and I did some shows, and somebody from Children's saw me in one of those other shows, and saw in the bio that I worked with people with disabilities, and thought, well, maybe he might be our guy. We can. It's an actor, it's a performer, he's a improv-y guy, and he might be able to help us out. And they gave me a call.
What is your drive to work with children and people with disabilities and children who are in a hospital? Where did that come from?
I guess I just don't ever see, I don't see kids in a hospital as patients. I just see them as kids.
Yeah.
And it was true for the time that I worked with people with disabilities, that I didn't see a disability. I saw an actor. I saw a performer or a singer or a dancer. And I was raised, my mom worked in special education. So I think that I obviously got a lot of that drive from her. But I just saw the power of, if you're able to do that, if you can show up and you can help people feel normal, for those that may not, that's a powerful thing. And I enjoy doing that, because I just think to myself, if I were somebody who may have gone through a traumatic brain injury, or if I was a child with a serious illness, I would want to be looked at and treated for who I was and not for why I was where I was.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you do a show every day?
We do shows every day.
Yeah.
The dude, I have to take some time off. You know, I have a lot of video games to play and naps to have, and, you know, I got other busy things to do. But no, I do a bingo show once a week, and I do a puppet character every Wednesday, and a bilingual bingo show we do. And then the dude, I have that show three times a week, and then some other rotating shows too.
Do you get to know the patients? I mean, I'm sure besides just doing the show that you're up probably meandering around and getting to know the patients and stuff. Do you get a chance to do that throughout the day?
Yeah, I do. I go and visit patients almost every day for those that like to watch our shows and call in and play games with us and stuff, or they'll win in bingo, and the chances that I can, I go and deliver those prizes, and it's like the coolest thing in the world, because they look at me like I'm some TV star,
Right.
And I get to walk in and look at them like they're the star.
Yeah.
And that payoff for them, it's palpable. It's tangible. You can feel a difference in their attitude, in their spirits are risen up. There's families are invested. I get to know moms and dads. It's fun for the family too. It is patient oriented. It's for the kids, but every patient that has a mom or a dad, a grandpa, grandma, brothers, sisters that come through, all their family, they love the shows too. And they play bingo, you know, they come down and watch the shows live. So we do get to know, especially the kids that come here, you know, pretty regularly. You know, you got kids that you meet for 3 days, 4 days that are here for whatever reason. They love the shows. They love to participate. And they may make a little cute drawing for the dude because they're being discharged. Everything's good. And they're on their way and I never see them again.
Yeah.
But then there are those kids that come back frequently because they have to. And I get to know those kids really well.
Dude, you have got to, I mean, you got to sleep pretty good at night knowing that you have a job that is having such an impact like this. You got like the best job in the world.
I do. I do. I feel like I do.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I get to work. There's like six of us that work in Star Studio and we all share that passion.
Right.
And we have a mantra here. It's one of our values at Children's. It's kids first. So that's what we specialize in. We put kids first. We just think, okay, what kind of video do we want to go out and make to put on our channel? We think, well, what would kids want to see? Hmm. You know, we think about the live shows that we produce and put on. Well, what do kids want to see? What do we think is fun? What do we think will help them escape their from where they are?
Yeah.
Just even for a half an hour, you know, a day. I do sleep pretty well at night. And I'll tell you what, though, Jared, this is true, too. It can also be a really hard job.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's got to be some tough times that come along with the good times, too, right?
Yeah. There's a reality that you have to live with when you work at a pediatric hospital. There's kids that you just wish didn't have to be here.
Yeah.
And you see that you see that with the families, too. And so because of that, that's the drive, too. That's the drive to say it's okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna give you a break from that for a little bit today, and then we'll do it again tomorrow.
Wow, I always ask my guests on the show about purpose and calling, and I'm just gonna ask you the same question I ask all my guests, and there's no right or wrong answer. What does that word purpose mean to you?
Well, I think it means if there's purpose in what you do. And you're driven by doing something that is bigger than yourself. That to me is purpose.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, maybe there's nothing wrong with self-serving things because we all have to take care of ourselves and we have to find something in our lives to do to pay bills or get by or whatever. But if you have something with a purpose, to me, it means that you found something that does that, that's great.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't, but you're doing something outside of your own self that serves you. You're doing something that serves somebody else. And if you can work in, and not everybody can, work with difficult populations, like, you know, working with people with disabilities can be a challenge.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot. I used to get this all the time. Eric, how do you, I could never work there. And I just think, you'd be surprised. You probably could, but that's okay that you say that you can't, because a lot of people think that. Or, Eric, how do you work? I just could never show up where, you know, kids are so sick all the time.
Yeah.
And I just keep thinking, yeah, I bet you could. I think you could work there if you just found that purpose.
And
if that's what drove you, if that's what drives you, is to do something bigger than yourself, you'll find it. And again, there's nothing wrong with not doing that.
Right.
It's just, some people latch on and find that thing. And another thing, I never set out to do this. This wasn't like, you know, I never dreamed up the dude. And when I'm a college student and thinking, this is what I want my career to be.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your purpose finds you. And that's the other part of purpose too. Not everybody has a preset notion of the things that they want to do or an epiphany to say, yeah, this is my purpose. Sometimes a purpose presents itself to you, and then it's up to you whether or not you want to do it.
Do you think that serving, I don't know, people, you know, less fortunate, people with disabilities, sick kids, is that your purpose, or is your purpose to entertain, or how would you just describe that? I'm just curious.
Well, it's funny because I still act out in the community. I can't help but not get out there and perform. And yeah. I just was in a show and pulled double duty and worked here and then rehearsed and performed at night. And I still have to do that. I fulfilled that purpose because I still like to perform. I love getting up and making people laugh in a play or a sketch comedy show. So I do have, that. It was born during my days at Dudley Riggs doing sketch comedy, getting up on stage and being a part of something where the whole, like 200 people are just belly laughing at what
that's
you're
gotta be
doing
awesome.
And what you wrote.
Yeah.
You know, you wrote that. And
how long back does that stem? When in the childhood, were you a performer? When did that start?
I think, I was blessed with having an older brother who was really good at sports. So I was pretty good at sports.
Okay.
I was pretty good. I wasn't as good as him.
Okay.
So I found my own way, and I found that, you know, I'm very non-confrontational, and I found a great way to avoid confrontation is to be the funny guy.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's that. And the other part of this too is when I grew up, I signed up for a play. And the teacher saw me as, hey, he's probably our comic relief guy. And I got that part. And I was up on stage in fifth grade doing this operetta thing. And I got a few laughs. And I took it from there. I could not get enough.
Did you just know at that point? Because I meet a lot of people who struggle with this purpose thing. And I've asked, I've talked to, I'm not kidding you, dude, like, I don't mean to call you dude. That's actually just that's what I would say, whether you were the dude or not. But that's how I talk.
That's how you talk.
But
that's
I've talked with like 50 to 60 year old guys, and I'm just like, what's your thing that drives you? And they can't really put their finger on it. And so there's people out there listening right now that are struggling with this thing. You found it and you're walking in it, and it's awesome. And that's what we're trying to inspire people to do with their lives. Do you have any advice for anybody who is just can't seem to kind of get in that zone that you're in right now? What could you say to them?
Purpose is never perfect, I guess.
No.
It with it comes lumps and disappointments, and you don't reach your goals, or sometimes it doesn't feel right. And I think sometimes maybe people, because of that, sometimes maybe give up a little too easy, or because they maybe found that path and it didn't go the way that they had previously set out and determined for it to go.
Yeah.
And those are my years of improvisation training, is that that's life. You can't, in improv, you can't go in and say, this is how I want the scene to go, because there's other people in the scene, or there's an audience suggestion that throws everything off its tracks, and you have to just say yes. There's a philosophy in improvisation 101 called yes and. So you say yes to something, and then you and add to it and build something. But you started by accepting it and saying yes to it. So whatever that might be, because I can't control, if you and I are doing an improv scene, I can't control what you're going to say. I can't determine that.
Yeah.
It may not be what I wanted or had in my head that you were supposed to say, Jared. You weren't supposed to say, we're at a farm, you know, but you say yes to that. And then all of a sudden you say yes to what I said. And we just built a really funny, great scene about being at a farm.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of how life works.
So it's never perfect.
Yeah.
It's just never perfect. Right. It will never be the way you thought that it would go.
Yeah.
But if you can say yes to the things and build on it, that maybe that dream and that purpose, you'll find it.
Yeah, that is good. You mentioned Larry. Is it Larry Johnson that started?
Yep.
Well,
yes.
Is he still around?
He is. And actually, he was just a guest on our show.
No kidding.
Like 2 weeks ago, he came on, and he's a storyteller, a local storyteller now. And he goes around, he brought in some of his original props. He had this funny horn that he puts a trumpet mouthpiece on and fills it with soapy water. And he plays songs that, and then the bubbles grow. I mean, it's just old school, great, funny, adorable stuff.
Yeah.
And he's great. So, yeah, he's been our guest on our show actually a couple of times.
Does he understand the legacy that he has kind of set in motion with this whole thing?
You know what? He's the most humble, sweetest man. Hmm. And I think he does. And I know that he's really, really proud that what we're doing now is what he started, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Where do you see this going? Are you just going to do this for another 10, 20 years, or what's the next step for the dude in Star Studio, and how does that impact, you know, how do you want to keep building that impact on the kids?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the great thing about the dude and being the dude is that every 10 years, I get 10 years older, but the dude only ages about 2 or 3.
It's like Bart Simpson. He never gets any older.
Yeah, yes, exactly. The dude will always just be the dude. I actually don't worry about it too much as far as my place.
Yeah.
I just go out and do the dude, and I get to be myself with kids, and that will always take care of itself.
Yeah.
As far as the program, though, we have goals of reaching out to other hospitals and sharing our content with other hospitals. We want to try maybe locally, but it's a really difficult thing, and it's a very expensive thing. And so we're working on that and trying to figure out the best way to do it, and then maybe go nationally to other hospitals and connect with other children's in our network around the country.
That'd be really, really cool. What do you want people to know you as? Obviously, you're a humble guy, and your heart is clearly set for just helping these kids, and there's no doubt in my mind that is the case. Like, but what would people say, Eric Nelson, the dude? What do you want them to think?
That, you know, I put it out there. I did my best.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know. That's a tough question.
Really, I think it's tough for you to
really
answer.
Know, and I guess I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it's a really good question. And I don't mean this in any disrespect, but the fact is I really don't care.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't care what other people will think. If I did, I probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah.
So whatever legacy all of us, any of us leave behind, we hope that those that love us and know us will be proud of us.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. As far as the rest of the world goes, hopefully something good. And I'll leave it at that. It's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about, I guess.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I think that's why it's hard for you to answer that question, is because I've had several people on the podcast say, you know, I don't care what my legacy is. I really don't, you know, and the first time somebody said that, I was kind of taken back. And it's like, no, because it's not really about me. I just focus on impacting people. I just want impact.
Right.
I want to live out my cause, and whatever legacy it is. I just want to be true to who I am. And that's exactly what you're doing. I think it's really interesting, Eric. You had a hard time answering that question, because that's exactly what I would almost indirectly expect you to do. So that's really interesting that you did that and said that. That's great. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that might be, sometimes you were asking me before about giving advice to people, is don't worry about your legacy then.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about the end result. It's all about the journey, you know, living the dream, right? it's about what you do.
Yeah.
And, then maybe at some point you hang it up and you can look back and you go, I'm pretty proud of what I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really can't ask much more than that.
No. One last question here, and I'll let you go. And you've answered it, and I have an idea as to what you're going to say, but impact. I want to be a person of impact. We want the listeners of this podcast to be impact people. What if you and I were just sitting around having coffee, and I said, Eric, what can I do? I'm like your age. We're about the same age, I think. Like, I want to have impact like you. Maybe not obviously in the arena that you're doing it, but I want to be a person of impact. How do I do that?
Well, I think the first thing is you gotta, listen to your heart and go for something that is outside of your comfort zone. As far as what, if you want to make an impact, you have to do the work and roll up your sleeves and dive right in and get to know and get to know people who have disabilities, if that's what you want to do, or the elderly, and dig in and volunteer and give that time. Mm-hmm. Find your place. Find what it is what you bring, how that can be helpful.
Yeah.
And experiment. It's not always going to be the right thing. Or, mm-hmm. I know a lot of great people that spend their, do great things with their lives. One of my best friends works with the elderly every day at a group home and teaches them music. And he's every day there's a new story of how there was an impact.
Yeah.
But you got to get in there and go right into the storm. of where you want an impact to take place. Mm. Roll up your sleeves and go for it.
Yeah.
Put on your cape and do your best.
Wow.
And you'll find it. You'll find it. And like I said, it won't always be perfect, and it won't be the thing that you maybe set out to do. But don't give up. Find what you're good at and how it can impact and what it is that you bring to the table, and follow that. And
yeah.
it'll take care of itself.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurposed with Eric Nelson, the Dude. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. And as usual, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.